Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards, Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rouleau. Today I have a recent and a returning Firebird Book Award winner to share with you, Marika Lexmond, and her recent win is titled The Queen of Fairy. Marika is an award-winning writer of fantasy novels, the Madokin Chronicles series. She's always been fascinated by magic and loves exploring mystical worlds in her writing. Her books have won numerous awards and have been praised by critics and readers alike. She is a master of world building, and her characters are unforgettable. Her writing is poetic, and her books are full of magic and wonder. And if you love fantasy, you'll love Marika Lexmond's books. And I just love that I have another opportunity to spend time with her. Welcome back, Marika.
Hi, Pat. It's such a pleasure to be back. It's always so wonderful to talk to you.
I know. We just chatted previously before we got on the air about how we go back and forth online. So it was just like we're friends, but it's really nice to get an opportunity to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's always good to speak in person.
Yes.
And although I enjoy following you and so keep in touch that way.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations once again on winning the Firebird Book Award.
Well, thank you so much. It was super exciting to see that the Queen of Fairy did so well. So it's always a pleasure.
Well, we've got lots of good books in your magic bag of tricks. We've got The Dagger, The Magical Tarot Deck, The Wand, The Cup, and The Queen of Fairy. And the final book, 6, is on its way, The Pentacle.
Yes, yeah, I'm working on that right now, and it's kind of weird to work on the last book in the series,
mm-hmm.
because it's a little bit of a bittersweet feeling. I'm happy to be able to explore new characters, but I'm also going to miss the Madokins a lot. They've been in my head for a very long time, so it's hard to part with them.
Oh, I understand that. It's like losing a family or a friend. I mean, they'll always be with you, but you won't be communicating with them, let's say, on a daily basis. But they will always live on, and think of the impact that they make on readers.
Yeah, it's always so wonderful to hear people's reaction, or if they send you a note, how they resonate with certain characters in your book. Mm-hmm. I think that's a wonderful thing.
For sure. I don't remember if we spoke about this, but where did this Madokin family come from the very beginning, from book one?
Well, I love tarot cards, mm-hmm. and I thought it would be really cool to think of a story in which the characters embodied part of a major arcana tarot card. And that's how I came up with the whole Madokin family, because each family member is based on the core meaning of that major arcana card. So like you have Tara, she's the matriarch of the family, and she is based on the Empress, which is mother and nurturing and supporting and growing. And that is where her character comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought of this family, and then I wanted to write it into a film, but it was just too many characters and too much stuff happening. And then I thought, oh, maybe a TV series, and that led me to actually writing The Dagger, because I thought I would never have the patience to write a whole book. So here I am, almost six books later.
Oh my gosh. So each tarot card then served as inspiration for the character or a plot point?
Yeah, the characters are, so the main family is based on the major arcana tarot cards. So mm-hmm. they're like Bridget, she is the main character in my story, and she comes from strength. So her main character trait is about strength and those wild intuitions. And then each chapter is based on a minor card, 1 to 10, and that's, I always said, it says the tone for the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my very first, I think now The Queen of Fairy starts with a 10 of Cups, and that's about family and connection and those kind of things. So that sets the tone for the first chapter of the book.
Right. Have you personally used tarot cards for inspiration or guidance in your writing process?
I sometimes do that. You know, you can do a tarot reading for a character in your book. Mm-hmm. Or if you're stuck and you think, I need some inspiration, you can draw a tarot card and see what the... like today, I drew a tarot card, and it was the Seven of Wands, which is, you know, you struggle to get somewhere, but if you keep going, you can manage to get somewhere. You know, defending a little bit what you got and coming out on top despite what looks maybe like you have disadvantages or something. So you have to keep going. And at that moment, I'm struggling in my book mm-hmm. with a certain part, and I don't feel if it's right or not, if I should throw it out or change it. But I'm not sure... seeing yet how I need to do it. So I think this card is then, you know, you have to just keep working on it and then you will find a way.
Right. So fascinating. Have you noticed any like common themes or motifs that tend to recur in your tarot card readings?
I feel I draw a card each day just to get a little bit of a feel of the day. Mm-hmm. And the card of the day is generally something small. It's not life changing, but generally you see certain cards come up regularly for a couple of weeks. And then if something is resolved, other cards will show up. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I write it down each day so I can look back for patterns. Mm-hmm. So I do keep tabs on it.
Yeah, I figured you did. Excellent. Okay, my friend, let's talk about The Queen of Fairy. Let's find out a little bit more about that book.
The Queen of Fairy is I have to be careful because otherwise I'll give stuff away. I'm easy blabbing stuff out. But what I really like about The Queen of Fairy is this time I give Ron a chance to shine. He is one of the only son from Terra, and I've been trying over the course of the books to highlight certain different characters so you get to know them better and see their role in the family. Mm-hmm. And in book 5, Ron is really finding his place, and he goes to some interesting struggles. So I really like that about this book, and I think it's pretty exciting ending, but I don't want to talk about it. Otherwise, I will give it away. And I think it's just everything deepens again in this story. And as all my other books, but people, if they're familiar with it, they're about family. And I just love to explore those family connections and different viewpoints. So that definitely deepens a lot, I think, in The Queen of Fairy. And obviously, Carrie is a major part as she lives in Fairy, so the story is a lot about her.
All right. Well, we'll just have to get a copy of the book, right?
Yeah, because if I feel a little bit, if I go very deep into it, I give away a lot.
Yep, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, a lot of spoilers. It's hard to, Yeah, because I think Carrie is, I love going into Fairy. So I hope you will, if you read the book, you will hopefully notice that. And I love the world and the world building of that. I love to explore Fairy. It's just so liberating to be able to use your imagination and just run with it. Mm-hmm. And Fairy gives me that opportunity often. Right. So I have just a lot of fun with it.
Do you have to do much research to create your magical world?
I think in the beginning I did some research, but I get a lot of stuff from nature, which I love to take and wield it, and I just go into my mind and I sometimes just see what falls out. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in writing and partly plotting things, but not restricting you too much. That doesn't work for me.
Right.
So I just love writing and then do some free exploring. It also ends up in that you throw away a lot, but it also gives you nuggets of, magic, mm-hmm. you know, things that you didn't, and don't overthink it, just let it flow. I like that a lot. I do that a lot in my writing. Mm-hmm. I plot out what I want in certain chapters to happen, and then I just let it come out. And sometimes I surprise myself, and I'm like, oh my God, where did it come from?
It's almost like a balance of realism and fantastical elements.
It is, and I think that's the fun about writing about witches and stuff, is that I take things that come from a real practice or a real place, and just I run with it. Mm-hmm. And then it brings me to surprising places. And that's what I find now very difficult on working on book 6, is that I need to wrap stuff up.
Yes.
Instead of expanding, and I find that a little bit of a trying exercise.
Well, yeah, it's kind of looming overhead that this is the last one, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you know, I set up a lot of stuff over the books, but you know, you need to wrap everything up. So I need to make sure that it's a satisfying end to the whole story, and there are many storylines, so... Yeah.
Yes.
It's a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, you don't want to leave anything hanging, because you have dedicated readers who have followed all of the books so far, and they'll notice.
Yes, so you want to make sure that everybody feels satisfied at the end with how far you got with the story. Mm-hmm. And you know, a story is never ended, but I'm sure that I feel that this story, after book 6, this is the end of the story.
Okay. So you use the theme of witchcraft, and you can use that to explore larger themes or issues in your writing, as you mentioned, family. What other issues or themes recur?
I talk about the balance, because I feel that I feel things are very balanced out, like in a character. We have Lucy. She is inherently not the nicest person, to say it mildly. But she does have the other side as well. You know, she does care about certain things. And the other way around, you have Tara, her twin, who is inherently is more caring and more. But she, you know, falls off the wagon every now and then and can do something fairly unpleasant. Or she kept so many secrets from everybody that caused basically most of the problems. Mm-hmm. So even though I think sometimes things seem very much like one thing, if you really look, there's always another side. Mm-hmm. And that is, so I feel that life balances out. So I let that explore also through all the books about balance. And I talk a lot about family, and I like to question things, like, you know, what is in the end, what is really, what do people believe, or what is fate, or because I have three characters which are called the Fates, mm-hmm. Mother, Maiden, Crone, sort of a tree unity, and you see a tree unity back also in religions or stuff. And I'm just curious, as you know, what really makes that, or why are we thinking that way? Or I like to explore through the fates a little bit of who is controlling our fate, and you know, where is it? Why do we need that?
Yes. So it really allows you to explore the different aspects of human nature and society.
Yes. Yeah, and I through writing about family and things, I found that community became more important in my own life. Mm-hmm. You know, I see it better, and I the importance of that, we need to live together and work together to get ahead in life. And I feel that the world is more focused these days on the individual.
Yes.
And I just been feeling that community for me, I was just lucky to have it around me in certain situations. And through my books also, I think I started to appreciate it more.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting how the writing of these books have affected and changed you.
I think that's inevitable. As a writer, you explore things. Mm-hmm. That's one of the luxuries you have as you write. You, in the end, you're all the characters.
Yes.
So some are natural to you, but some are also aspects of life that you think, gosh, how would that be? Or it gives you an opportunity to explore other things. And that enriches your own life in certain ways, and also it questions certain beliefs you had or things that you see certain way, and then it forces you to look at it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a gift as a writer, is that you're free to explore all sorts of thoughts and situations.
Right.
And that inevitably also changes you.
That makes me think, especially when you've got like a 6-book series where you've really spent a lot of time and years with these people, and you just said that all of the characters are a little part of you. I'm wondering how it is to write a character who you don't like, a character who is mean or unkind, and if all of your characters are a little part of you, do you recognize that?
I find it, that's one of the things you really had to, or at least I had to be mindful of, is that not only pleasant things can happen to your characters, you know, that's not the story. So you need to, unpleasant things need to happen. And I think however well you try to be a good person, there's always something inside you that is also not always so understanding or so nice.
Right.
So I think it forces you to look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And that can be very uncomfortable. But, you know, that's also, I think, part of the challenge or the interest, or why you can do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, life is also not a joyride all the time. You only feel that you have, you can't have the ups without the downs. So yeah. I also feel that with writing mean characters, there is something inside you, or you look around you and you see it. I use that sometimes too, you know, you just recognize things in either the news or friends around mm-hmm. you, or just people you encounter on the streets, and you can take those little tidbits and use them in your story.
Right. Right. The dark and the light, whether it's all you or what you see in the world.
And I think, nobody is only great or lovely, or, you know, that's not possible. Nobody can. Just right. Undoable, I think. Yeah. And it's also fine. I think we need to accept that life is not only great.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
That stuff happens to you, that is just, everybody runs into stuff in life that just is unpleasant or painful or awkward, or, and that is also things you need to learn to deal with and go through. And I think it's nice if you, and that's one of the things that if you read that, you can, even though I write fantasy, you know, it is still emotions that you have to go through in life.
Yes, authors are in a unique situation where they can create these, but there's also such opportunity for self-reflection and self and personal growth as well through their own writing.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yes.
I think, yeah, you know. I must say that the Madigan definitely changed me.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's an interesting process.
Most certainly
sometimes
is.
Sometimes also very painful, but good in a good way.
And you are quite a photographer, and you take some beautiful pictures, and I always admire the photos. You've sent me a couple, some amazing birds against the, was it the moon? Moonshadow.
Thank you. Sometimes I came across from somebody because I follow a lot of photographers, and every year there is a group of photographers who does some sort of ocean fundraising for preserving the ocean. Mm-hmm. And there was that photograph, I forgot his name, who made that, but he did with the, when the eclipse, mm-hmm. thank you, that's the word. He made a picture, yes. and of a bird in front of the eclipse. It was just an amazing shot, and I had to think immediately of the Firebird Book Award. I thought, gosh, this is just so fitting for you somehow.
I know.
So that's why I sent that to you. I thought, gosh, this is an amazing photograph that somebody, he spends, I think, hours to get that shot. So I admire that. If people have so much patience for something to get what they want.
Exactly. And,
but I love taking photographs myself, and I come from a film background. So
yes.
It's just what I love doing, and I love to take a lot of nature pictures.
And they're just beautiful. I could see how those are so inspiring and how that just dovetails so nicely into writing fantasy.
Yes, and I think, like, I write about witches, and a part of being a witch, I think, is feeling connected and connected to nature.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, for me, it falls easily into the part of the stories of my world. And now I feed the hummingbirds at my house, and they just make me think about little fairies with these flapping wings.
I know.
You know, it's just cute.
So when you say that you are a witch, let's talk about that. What does that look like? What does that mean?
Well, for me, it's just a way of living. I don't see it as a religion or anything. I just feel it more, it's like a nature, more natural way of living, or feeling more connected to nature or feelings around you. Or because I think being a witch is all about feeling and connection. And connection to people, connection to nature. We're living with the moon cycles a little bit, for instance. I love the moon cycles and the seasons, and living more in harmony with the natural world, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then being more attuned to everything. That's how I see witchcraft. And it's... you know, I make spells, and those are just an intention. Mm-hmm. I think it's and that is an intention that you put in the world. And I believe in that. If you really speak out loud what you want to achieve or do, it starts to live.
Yes.
Because a lot of ideas like live in our heads, but if you really speak it, or you make something, like I love to make little spells, like tiny little artworks of things. Then you put an intention in the world, and it starts to grow. It's like planting a seed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell us about, are you still offering that special box that I had purchased one from you, and I just think it's so lovely. Can you talk about that? Are you still offering that?
Yes, and that was born out of a cooperation with Particle 6. They purchased the rights to the book to try to make it into a TV series, so uh-huh. they're working on that,
okay.
which is very exciting.
Yes.
So, and they are a UK-based production company, and we developed that box, the spell box, and I think it's really nice because it's a whole package of things, and it's just lovely, and you can put your own intention on it and speak out what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. So, those are still available on themedicans.com, I think you can go. Or you can go to my website and then follow the link, what's under thewitcheshead.com.
Okay.
And then if you go to the spells, it's on there. You can see the box, and you can find your way there.
Yes, it's so special.
It's really lovely. Because it gives you the whole ritual, and I think it's just lovely. I have one hanging by my desk myself.
I love the lapis, that pendant.
Isn't it cute? I think it's just lovely.
It is lovely. It's so beautiful. That's what drew me when I first saw it on your site. I'm like, I feel like I need to have this.
Oh, thank you for getting one. And I also loved your suggestion that it could be a lovely gift. So I've been thinking about it myself. It's just nice to send somebody, you know, an opportunity to for prosperity, because it's for prosperity or good luck and what you and you can apply it to whatever you're looking for in your life.
Right. It is such a great gift. It's not anything somebody would buy for themselves, except for me. I bought it for myself, but most people wouldn't. So it does make a great gift.
Yes, and isn't it lovely to just wish somebody the best?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is basically what you're saying, I think.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, my friend, so we know what's next. We don't know what's after the pentacle, do we?
Well, not yet, but yeah, there's always a lot of ideas swirling in my head. But what I'm also working on is a tarot deck.
Uh-huh.
So once all the books are done, because each book has a tarot card in the beginning of the chapter, and we will finish the deck and put out the tarot deck that Tara is reading in the books.
Oh, cool. Yes, I'll keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, so that's also in the works. And I also would love to do something maybe with other people again, maybe make a documentary, or because I come from filmmaking,
mm-hmm.
and I miss a little bit working with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I find that the writing, even though you work with your editor or your, you know, some people, it's a little bit of a lonely business.
Yes.
So I would love to do something again that, because I find it inspiring also to work with other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I hope, to be able to do something like that again. But I no doubt I will write again, because I just love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. A series of six, not so many people in the story, less people, and maybe a shorter series, like three books or six books is a lot.
It is. But it was necessary.
This is how this story was, so yeah. it's what it is.
Yes, it is.
It's not particularly a choice. It's just that this story was like this, and I tell it like this, and I get a lot of comments that people say, hey, and it's a lot of characters or stuff like that, but it is what it is. This is how the story is.
Exactly. It's like the story of your life. It is what it is, and...
And it took a little bit of a life of its own,
mm-hmm.
in that sense.
Well, anything we missed today that you wanted to highlight?
No, I think I would love to have told you about a tarot deck that is coming, because I think that's pretty exciting. And I've been working with Nicole Ruigrok on that, and I've been starting also to design some cards myself. So...
Mm.
I think that's just a very exciting thing. And... I think we touched on some interesting things today.
We did.
We went deeper than we did before, so that was really good.
Yeah, the first time you speak, you've got to try to have a broad brushstroke and hit all of the things. But we've spoken a few times, so I wanted to dig in a different direction. So thank you for indulging me. All right, well, if you would, I think you gave a couple websites, but share again contact information where folks can find out more about you, get copies of your books. Just take us where we should go.
The books are available basically everywhere, like Amazon or iBooks or, also internationally. So you have things like Kobo and, I'm not sure. But if you Google my name, Marieke Lexmond, you will find... My books are everywhere and generally in any store you want to buy books. And if you want to know more about the witches, I have a website under thewitcheshead.com. And you can find the world there of the books, but also there are recipes on there. There's cocktails. You can buy spells. It's a whole world to explore, so I encourage people to go and see that. And if you want to follow me, what's going on, I have also an Instagram at Under the Witch's Hat. And then there is a whole, I do a lot of photographs and films and little bits about the books. It's a sort of a mix of everything. Mm-hmm. And then I have my personal Instagram is Marika Lex. And if you love dogs, I do the Urban Dog Squad. I will pluck the little dogs in there. I always say they are more famous than I am. So
everybody loves them. They're always wearing some cute little outfits and they're always just running about. They're just the cutest little characters.
They have a lot of adventures, my dogs. Yeah.
A good life for them, for sure. Oh my gosh. All right, we're speaking with Marika Lexmond, the Madokan Chronicles series. We're talking about the Queen of Fairy. We talked about tarot cards and witches, and yeah, head over to underthewitcheshat.com. You've got Luna's cocktails and recipes and the spells, just so much to know. You're special. I'm so happy I know you and was so looking forward to today. Thank you. Just thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Pat. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you, and you're such an easy person to talk to and share wisdom with. Thanks.